welcome everybody to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast, the final regular season edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast for this season. I'm Eric Horn, sitting here with Barry Trammell and Brett Dawson of the Oklahoman.
We did it. 82 pods.
Oh, I thought you were talking
about pod.
I thought you were about to say we did it as in we were the Thunder. No. The Thunder.
I just mean we had a crazy notion that we were going to do a podcast after every regular season game, and we did it.
You guys did
a good job. I've started listening when I'm not involved. I've enjoyed them
through ups and downs of bad production on our part.
Bad production on the Thunder's part.
Bad production on the Thunder's part.
A lot more of the latter than the former.
Us recording in closets. Us getting parts of podcasts erased. us getting kicked out of arenas.
Batteries dying. Memory cards filling up. Me bringing the wrong set of headphones all the time.
Like the Thunder, this was a very inefficient season the podcast, but we got it done.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, as we watch Portland beating Utah coming off the second night of back-to-back.
Badly.
Gentlemen.
It's bad.
This Thunder team, which started 8-12, and let's not... We're not going to give them too much credit, but we're just going to set up the scene here. We're going to set the scene. They started 8-12. Offense looked like junk. Throughout the season, we're thinking to ourselves, how is this going to work? How are these guys going to mesh? You know, in the beginning of the season, people are picking them to finish anywhere from 2-4. Home playoff team, it's got to happen. It's inevitable. And going into this last week, how confident did we feel – that the Thunder was going to be hosting a playoff series? Are you kidding me?
Saturday morning at shoot-around in Houston, I felt badly about them making the playoffs. I thought, they're not going to make it. They're going to lose tonight to Houston, and they're going to have to go on the road against a pretty good Miami team in a situation where they just have to win, and I don't think they're going to do it.
I'm not going to mention the person that was on this text chain we were on. We had somebody actually mention us. They're not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I said,
you got to name names because that indicts us all.
There's nobody that's here.
Yeah, it wasn't one of us.
All right, okay.
It wasn't one of
us. I'll say this. Tim McMahon from ESPN said, I bet you $20 they're going to make the playoffs. And I said, I'm not sure that they are, and so I owe Tim McMahon $20.
Well, you shouldn't have bet him. First of all, just don't make bets. Yeah. I don't bet money.
Yeah,
I just would have said I'm not going to make a bet.
I had sort of talked about my lack of confidence in them, and like I felt a little pressure to back up what I was saying. So whatever, I did it. Every time I thought they were going to turn a corner, they didn't. And every time I thought they were going to be bad, they turned around and were good. So people should be thanking me for having my doubts on Saturday.
Now, but here's the deal. They played well Saturday. They got a victory. And once they won Saturday, everything sort of opened up for them.
That changed everything because I thought then all they had to do was win tonight to get in. So, like,
right.
And I'll tell you this. As we got closer to the game on Saturday, and this is another person. I'll just say this because it doesn't make him look bad. As we got closer to the game on Saturday, Royce Young said to me, I got a weird feeling they're going to win tonight. And this was like 2 hours before the game. And I said, I kind of do too. I don't know why. It just sort of the whole thing flipped on me, maybe because I bet money and I never do that. And so once I bet money, I'm like, of course I'm going to lose this money. But I really did sort of think maybe they're going to beat Houston. And then they did.
It changed everything.
And the rest of the West opened up. Now, some teams like Utah kept winning, but Portland started losing.
Yeah.
And that gave Utah a chance to catch them and gave the Thunder was able to stay up with Utah and. The Thunder needed to be even with Utah. That was their only tie break possibility, and it happened. They stayed within a game, and then tonight caught them. So they win the tie break and go to fourth. How's that for irony? In a season in which been defined by their losing all the tie breakers.
They get the one tie break.
Yeah,
they win the tie breaker at the end of the year.
They got a fortuitous – and look, scheduling just balances out over time, but they got a fortuitous week in terms of scheduling in the sense that – you got Minnesota and Denver playing each other, and so there was a number that both those teams couldn't get to. And then you had New Orleans and San Antonio playing each other tonight, and there was a number that those guys couldn't get to because they had to play each other. That was really helpful.
Yeah. Everything, the stars aligned for the Thunder for this to happen. They get in that three-way with the Jazz losing, which they're going to lose by the time you guys listen to this podcast, the Jazz will have lost this game. If they
we will have recorded all new podcasts.
We'll record an entirely new podcast, and we'll be hurriedly planning to go to Salt Lake City this weekend. You know, this three-way lines up with the Pelicans, the Jazz, and the Thunder, and the Thunder has the better record against those teams in that three-way, thus they get the four. I mean, improbably.
This was what you had to have happen. You had to tie Utah or get into a three-way that involved Utah and one of these other teams.
Yes.
Because the Thunder didn't get, you know, it was just that they were close against New Orleans. It was only 1-2. So the fact that they had this big advantage over Utah, the 3-1 advantage, not only did they have that Utah tiebreaker, they just won it so comfortably that it made everything easier. They didn't, you know, if they got into some, it would have been the same thing. If they had gotten into some three-way tie with Portland, Portland's 4-0
was such a
huge advantage. They're done.
Yeah, they would have buried them. They'd have been the 6. So, again, things balanced out for the Thunder. They at their apex, they were playing well. Andre Robertson hurts his knee. Awful. Seemingly season-crushing kind of injury with just the way that they played from that point on. And then all of a sudden, you look up at the end of the night, at the end of the season, they go 3-0 down the stretch, and then they end up getting the tiebreaker. An improbable rally. Rise from the ashes for the buried Thunder.
they were really good this week. I mean,
Zombie Thunder.
They were really good. And like, look, they still were kind of themselves. They got that lead at Houston and should have kind of comfortably won. And they kind of let things get interesting. And then they came out really flat against Miami,
23-5.
Yeah, and had to really dominate that fourth quarter, and did completely dominate it. And then tonight, they play Memphis, and it's a bad team. And Memphis is playing like a bunch of dudes who I like sort of remember as AAU players a few years ago. And they messed around a little bit, and especially messed around in the third quarter because the third quarter is the third quarter, and they're the Thunder. But, you know, they were incredible offensively tonight, and that was all they had to be.
We've gotten very deep into the podcast. Well, we had to talk about the playoff implications and all the playoff stuff. And we're probably going to podcast tomorrow about the Jazz matchup. But for now, just digest this. Bask in the glow of the Thunder hosting a playoff series. For the first time since the Kevin Durant departure.
Well, and here's the other thing I sort of like about it. It's fresh meat. Never played the Jazz in the postseason.
You've never been to Salt Lake City.
Just the airport. Just the airport.
Oh, wow.
But when you talk about, the three series against the Spurs, three series against the Grizzlies, three series against the Mavericks, there's teams that they've played over and over and over. And now all of a sudden here comes this team that Utah has never been in a playoff series with. That's sort of cool.
It is cool. And I think it's an intriguing matchup, you know, from the standpoint that, you know, Utah's – coming back from the Gordon Hayward departure, kind of a similar situation to the Durant departure. Not at the magnitude, obviously, of Kevin Durant's departure, but, you know, this is a team that rallied back from losing their star and has some good young pieces. Rudy Gobert, a guy who will probably win Defensive Player of the Year, a guy who, you know, has given the Thunder problems. A guy in Donovan Mitchell, who Russell Westbrook has respect for, and is
Paul George, too.
It's a magnificent rebuilding job on the fly that Utah's done, because they were as destitute as the Thunder felt.
Yeah.
Last summer they felt as bad as the Thunder felt. Now they hadn't reached the height of the Thunder,
but they also didn't have a Russell Westbrook.
You had to think, man, our future is just. You had to think Orlando or Phoenix or somebody. Instead, they're the three seed had a chance to be the three seed in the West. They end up, you know, in five, win 48 games, just a wonderful coaching job, a wonderful management job. They got good culture. That's what they've got. They've got good culture in Salt Lake.
Yo, how about the Thunder's culture? Good segue into the Russell Westbrook-ness that we saw tonight. Russell Westbrook needed 16 rebounds going into this game in order to average a triple-double for the second time in his career, which would have been the first time in NBA history that anybody has ever averaged a triple-double in consecutive seasons. Russell Westbrook, did we ever doubt?
No.
Did we ever doubt that such a thing was going to get accomplished for a confluence of elements? First and foremost being that Russell Westbrook is Russell Westbrook. He's incredible talent. All right, I was talking about Russell Westbrook and how awesome he is at rebounding. However, tonight he did play the Memphis 10 days.
Yes.
And
actual bad news Bears.
The actual bad news Bears. His teammates clearly were letting him fly in for rebounds, as they did against Miami as well. And it was a sight to behold because Russell Westbrook got his he got his 16 rebounds. He got more than that. He got his 20 rebounds. But to the haters out there who were trashing Russell Westbrook or whatever, look, he gets these defensive rebounds. They don't affect the bottom line, basically, unless we're talking about him floating and not contesting shots, as we talked about before the podcast cut off.
Yeah, it's great fun that we pointed out all the problems we've had with the podcast, and then we had another set of problems. It's a great way to go out.
Irony. Now,
I don't have a problem with his teammates giving him those rebounds. To me, it's a sign of admiration and support.
Fear.
There's no, well, maybe for some of them, Jeremy Grant types. I mean, but it's not hurting. In fact, it accelerates the Thunder fast break sometimes.
Yes.
Cuts out the middleman.
There was a point tonight, Eric, where I said to you, that's a good way to lose an arm, Paul. Paul was like up at the rim with him on one, and it was like Paul sort of like he was going for it, and Westbrook was like, no, mine.
Give me that.
It was
give me that.
Yeah, yeah. It was great after the game. Barry asked Nick Collison about this idea of it being a show of respect, and he said, obviously, you guys let him get some of these, and Collison could not. He could literally not contain his smile when he said, I don't know what you're talking about with that. I know I've never done that. I've never let him have one.
You know, before the podcast got cut off, Brett, you went to a terrific rant about the MVP stuff. I don't know how much more we even want to get into that, but we want to stick to the triple-doubles or whatever. But
I do want to get that on the record on the podcast, and I'll make it shorter the second time since I've already done it once. But look, the idea that you have to vote for him for MVP this year if you voted for him last year is silly. Like, I have a vote. I am not going to vote for Russell Westbrook for the MVP despite the fact that he got a triple-double. If I had a vote last year, I would have voted for him. I thought he was the MVP. They won 47 games last year with a team that didn't look like much without him. He had incredible, the greatest clutch season maybe in the history of basketball statistically. He was remarkable. He sort of drug a team by himself and did what he did, and it was amazing. And it went beyond the triple-doubles. I don't know if he'd have won MVP if he didn't do the triple-double thing. I think he still deserved it. But I don't think because he's got it this year, you have to do it. And I don't think the fact that, like, there were some people saying today, like, oh, aren't people going to seem silly who voted for him last year and don't vote for him this year? No, they're not going to seem silly. They're going to seem like people who are paying attention. Last year, he had an MVP-type year. He had an MVP year. This year, he's had a real good year. And if somebody puts him fifth or whatever, that's fine. I don't know that he'll necessarily even be in my top five. But, like, the two seasons are not the same. It's like last year he led the league in scoring. There's so many differences between the two seasons, but it's remarkable that he did it 2 years in a row. I kind of can't believe he did it.
Well, and the other thing is, even if the seasons were similar, they don't happen in a vacuum. I mean,
exactly.
Other things are going differently in each season. So
James Harden's team has won 66 right. games or whatever this year.
Anthony
that didn't
Davis
happen last year.
Put a team on his back and carried it down the road. So
and he has Paul George and Carmelo Anthony this year, and a Steven Adams who is a better player because those two guys are here, and because he's just improved, but because of the space that those guys add, they're a better team. And so the 48 wins this year feel like kind of a disappointment as opposed to the 47 last year that felt kind of like a triumph. And I do think the other thing with Westbrook, the narrative last year, the triple-double thing got people talking about him. There's no question. But the narrative of, like, left behind by Durant and what was going to happen to the franchise, that stuff played into the MVP, too.
Sympathetic,
there's no question.
He was a sympathetic figure.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And all that stuff is just different. Seasons are different. And this one is – he's had a great year. I don't think he's the MVP, and I don't think he has to be just because he did one statistical thing that he did last year that nobody else has ever done.
Barry is knee deep into his emails right now, waiting for the NBA to send their release about the playoff matchups. I know what you're looking for, Barry.
That's exactly right.
The Portland's just beat the Jazzes, which means the Thunder gets the number 4 seed.
Home court advantage.
Home court advantage in the first round.
They're really not any worse off than if they'd won the West. If they'd won the West, it'd be a number one.
And they'd be
playing Minnesota.
The Minnesotas.
I think I'd rather play Utah than Minnesota.
That's true.
I mean, Minnesota's a load, too. Both of them are loads.
If they win both series, they'd be a lot better off if they were the the one seed. The second round, they'd be a whole lot better off.
Yes.
Because this way, if you win this one, you're going to go and be on the road and play Houston. It would not be the case if you had won. So in that sense, yes. But this is look, for the way things looked a week ago and 2 weeks ago and whatever else, this is pretty much the ideal outcome, because I think if you could pick one of these teams that are sort of in this mix, I think you'd look at Utah strongly. It's a team they played very well against in the regular season. I think if you could just pick one, they'd be among the ones you would probably pick.
Well, and I think it may be ill-fated. I think there's a great deal of confidence on this team. And
yeah.
At times, that's been a downfall of theirs. We saw it Monday night, getting off to a 23-5 deficit. We've seen it in other times when they gave up big leads. But, you know, most people saw it tonight, you know, running off the court with Leslie McCaslin, the exit interview after the game. Russell Westbrook said, you know, was asked how far this team can go. He said championship. He said win the championship. So, I mean, they got their sights set high. So maybe they'll start playing like it.
Carmelo Anthony was asked tonight about, you know, because when we were talking to players, obviously that game just ended. So talking to players, we had no idea what was going to happen in terms of them being – we knew they were going to play Utah. We didn't know where. And Carmelo Anthony said, look, if you want to win the championship, you're going to have to win some games on the road anyway. So that's the way we're looking at this.
Still waiting on this email. Come on, NBA. You got to get your stuff together, man. It's been like 2 minutes.
We have not talked about the one downer about tonight.
We haven't even talked about one of the big ups of tonight in Paul George. We need to talk about Paul George. We need to talk about Corey Brewer. We need to talk about Nick Collison. Let's get those in pretty quickly, and then maybe this email will come through.
Let's talk about Paul George, because
– start with Paul.
The thing with the Westbrook rebounds, you know, and all the debating about stealing rebounds and this and that, and like Carmelo Anthony being like, yeah, he steals rebounds. Like tonight is like – this is the example of why it's good when he gets defensive rebounds, because – he was very aggressively pursuing them, obviously, but he was also looking to push as soon as he got it. He was looking for the long outlet, hit ahead, and they were great in transition. It helped that Paul George made a bunch of shots. But Westbrook was looking for him and Steven Adams up the court, and I think it helped get Paul George into a nice rhythm, and he was fantastic, especially in the first half.
Was he 8 of 14 from deep tonight?
Yeah, and we made his first 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's... incredible game from Paul George offensively. He looked in rhythm again, which is something we have not seen a lot from him post All-Star break. 40 points for Paul George. Limited his turnovers. He's been sloppy with the ball at times post All-Star break, too. Actually, the whole season. Only 2 turnovers tonight for Paul George. Thunder, you know, Thunder didn't have a bunch of really egregious turnovers. I mean, Russell Westbrook had some kind of getting out in transition, but other than that, pretty clean. Just good to see Paul George find a rhythm again, coming off those screens and finding his three-point stroke. Got to be promising going into the playoffs. Now, Corey Brewer. Thunder's up 27 points in the third quarter. By the end of the third quarter, they are only up 9 because they give up 33 points in 9 minutes after Russell Westbrook gets his 16 rebound average. Maybe they should have just kept sending Russell Westbrook to the boards. He could have got 30 rebounds, and they would have just been playing the same way they've been playing all the whole game.
Yeah, they're literally playing against a G League team, and they gave up scores on 12 of 13 possessions during one stretch.
It was comical.
Threes everywhere, so many threes. Barry, you were asking people after the game about this idea that maybe they kind of let up after that. Billy Donovan did not agree. He was wrong. I mean, like, you were right about that. They just – you know, the players were participating in a standing ovation for one of their teammates. It's the kind of thing you do when the game is over. I mean, I think that was the mindset. You know, we got this one.
It's one of the – it's probably the only time in the season that the triple-double stuff hijacked a game, basically. And look, they were honestly playing better when they were going for the triple-double.
Yeah.
When they were going for the triple-double average.
They were 22. They when he got his 16th rebound.
They were playing with some sort of initiative, sort of directive initiative and style. And when that stopped, the thing came off the rails.
Yeah.
And I say all this because you still got Corey Brewer and some of the starters in there with 7 minutes to go, and it's a 12-point game. Now, granted, look, Billy Donovan does this all the time. He leaves the starters in a little bit longer than most guys, most most coaches typically would, or he brings them back later than most coaches typically would, because he's just scared to lose leads. And yep. we've seen it happen before. They lose leads really quickly when Russell Westbrook goes out of the game.
They've blown so many this year.
So he plays these guys a little bit more than you typically would in some of these games. You know, Russell Westbrook plays 37 minutes tonight.
Stone Cold played 36 and a half.
Steven Adams plays 36.
I advocated for him sitting the whole game.
Yeah, it's – you're getting more minutes than you probably should for some of these guys. But, you know, people on Twitter want to make the argument, well, Corey Brewer might have been out there even if he
– and he might have.
You know, he could might have. But at the same time
– just because they were short in that rotation tonight anyway. They didn't have Abrines.
But that also could have been minutes you could have been playing.
Yeah.
You know, Raymond Felton, Terrence Ferguson.
Right.
Raymond Felton, Terrence Ferguson or something like that.
But your point is well made. When you're up 27, it's 90-63 I think was the biggest lead. When you're up 27 midway through the third quarter, or
your
late
lead
third
should
quarter,
not be 9 when you get to the end of the third quarter.
And you're playing against Ivan Rabb and Mike with a Y, Henry.
He's looking at a sheet.
And Omari Johnson and Kobe with an I, Simmons. The lead needs to be by the end of, it needs to be 35 at the end of the third quarter. And then everybody's taking a seat. And Daniel Hamilton's playing point guard the entire fourth quarter. And Dakari Johnson's in there.
And Terrence Ferguson is playing into every minute.
Terrence Ferguson's jacking up shots, which is fine. It's all good.
And again, to people on Twitter, I'm not blaming Billy Donovan for having Corey Brewer out there. I'm saying the Thunder should have been up more.
Exactly.
So that's on the players.
Yes.
Okay. And, on the players that screwed up at the end of the third quarter.
And by the way, Billy Donovan agreed with that premise after initially bristling at this idea that Corey Brewer should have been out there, which is not what you're saying. But like, yeah, they should have had a bigger lead. Now Billy sometimes gets a little touchy about, you know, like why they don't blow teams out more, and his point is fair. The league is built so that you don't. The teams are very good. Eventually they're gonna make shots. However, they were not playing an NBA team tonight. They should have expanded the lead, and they should have, you know, he said, I'm not saying you need to be up by 40. Well, they probably should have been up by 40 because they were not they weren't playing an NBA team. I mean, this guy, no offense to these guys, they all work very hard. Good on Kobe Simmons and Dylan Brooks. It was amazing, but like, you know, whatever. It's not a real team. Should have had a bigger lead, and that's unfortunate. Now, we didn't talk to Corey Brewer. He was in the locker room, so he wasn't like gone. He walked to the locker room on his own. He was limping when he left. Paul George told us after the game that Corey Brewer told him he'd be fine, but we don't know what that means. It's a sprained knee, and that's the extent of kind of what we know now.
Yeah, we're going to expect to get an update on that tomorrow. The Thunder doesn't practice on Thursday, but we'll get an update on Corey Brewer. In closing, let's talk a little bit about Nick Collison. Barry, you said you have a sense that, I mean, just your personal thought that this is it for Nick Collison. It seemed that way with the way this night went for the Thunder.
Well, yeah, he's 37. You can't play forever. And even if you can, the team doesn't necessarily want you to. So this seemed like a farewell to Nick. You know, I advocated early in the day. I said, well, why don't you rest Steven Adams? He needs a rest, which he does. And start Nick Collison. Give him a great ovation. Well, the Thunder trumped that idea. And they had Russ come out and make a presentation.
It's fan appreciation. Basically, every team in the league does this the last home game. A guy comes out. It's not always a guy of Russell Westbrook's caliber, although it typically is. Comes out and says, you know, hey, thanks for supporting us all year. And we thought that's all Westbrook was doing. And then, Barry?
Yeah, and he basically says, hey, I want my friend, my mentor, my brother to come out and join me, Nick Collison. Crowd goes crazy. And he said, I don't know what Nick's future is, but, you know, I love this guy and I love playing with him. And
yeah,
just in case this is it, how about a farewell for Nick Collison?
Yeah, so Russell Westbrook, who's played his whole career with this guy, says, just in case this is his last game, and Nick's family's here tonight.
Well,
they're here.
Because you can't miss a Thunder-Memphis game when the Grizzlies have their JV in town.
You can't skip out on watching Kobe Simmons. If you got a chance to see Kobe Simmons, man.
Leave Kobe alone, man. Okay?
I remember Kobe and AU.
Dave Collison happens to be a big Kobe Simmons fan.
I'm not going to call out the person. Okay. I said tonight, I remember when I was talking to somebody who had seen Kobe in the G League, and I said, I remember when Kobe Simmons was a big deal, and this person said to me, so does Kobe Simmons.
Oh.
it was quite funny.
NBA's slacking.
But it's probably Nick's on swan song. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't barely played.
He didn't want to talk about it today. And the thing about that, it was kind of, I mean, the way Collison put it wasn't even like he basically said, I'm not going to say if this is it because that's not important right now. We got the playoffs coming up. It's not something that we need to talk about. But it certainly did feel like the end. It was unfortunate. And Billy Donovan kind of said it was unfortunate. And Nick Collison said it was unfortunate. The weird way these two things intersect, the Corey Brewer injury and the Nick Collison farewell, or whatever, with Nick Collison salute, if we don't want to call it a farewell yet. Corey Brewer gets hurt shooting a three-pointer. J.B. Bickerstaff gets to choose who shoots the free throws because that's the rule. When a guy gets hurt on a foul and can't shoot the free throws, he chooses Nick Collison, who promptly misses all three free throws.
Banged them all deep, all long.
Said adrenaline got the best of him, basically. Said it.
They weren't unimportant at the time. I mean, Memphis was still hanging around.
It had cut it down.
It was 120 to 108 with 7:07 left.
Yeah, so you got a chance to stretch it out to 15, yeah, and you miss all three. He said he actually told himself, don't be long. But he said the adrenaline just kind of got to him. He did get back in the game, so Billy obviously got him out as soon as he could after that. He got back in the game with about a minute and a half to go, made a free throw. He said he was glad to kind of just get one to go in. But you could tell the night meant a lot to him. The moment meant a lot to him. And the moment seemed to also mean a lot to Westbrook. And it was nice. I thought it was good that the
– It was a class move by Westbrook.
Yeah.
I wonder whose idea it was.
So Collison said they talked to him about a couple of scenarios.
Matt Tumbleson,
yeah, that Matt
PR.
Tumbleson talked to him about some stuff. Basically, the idea was that Russell wanted to do something. So I don't know if that meant it was Russell's idea or if that just came from some conversations with different people. But – I think Collison was only going to go so far, and this was something he was definitely willing to do. It seemed like he really appreciated it.
Yep.
It was nice. You know, it's unfortunate he had to come into the game with Corey Brewer out. Knee sprain, you know, when I was a kid, sprain meant no big deal.
Yeah.
Sprain now generally means some sort of ligament problem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the thing. It could come back and be an MCL sprain or, you know.
Now, the good news is Corey Brewer is not the prototype for what you need against Utah. Golden State, Houston, those teams, you need Andre Robertson. If you don't have him, you need Corey Brewer. Against Utah, not necessarily. So if this is one of those 1-2 week deals, the Thunder might survive it. But, boy, it's going to be tough playing – if they should get past the Jazz, it'd be tough playing Houston without Corey Brewer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hope is – I mean, and Paul George kind of made it seem like Corey Brewer was fine, but Paul George is a doctor. He doesn't know. Right. Corey Brewer is walking out of the locker room. He walked off of the court when he sustained the injury. So, you know, hopefully –
Not well, but he walked.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in obvious pain.
So, hopefully – this thing is better than it seems for the Thunder. We're trying to wait out the NBA's official schedule here for the playoffs, but I don't think we're going to make it.
They ought to get rid of West Coast games on the last – the West Coast teams ought to have to play on the road on the last day of the year.
I think we're
– Isn't that a good idea?
It's not a bad idea.
It's a good idea.
So we can get it all central or
Eastern?
Yeah,
well, so everybody can get going.
Yeah, people do want to know this. I mean, people in the East want to know this, and it's 1 o'clock there.
All kinds of people need to know.
Get it popping. Well, folks, we're going to wrap this up. This is the final of the regular season podcast. Brett and I are going to jump back on probably on Thursday, and which some of you guys might be listening to today. And we're going to do a little bit of a look ahead to Utah, and we may have a special guest. We're going to see if we can line that up for some of our local listeners. They might have some interest in that. We're going to keep it a secret because it's TBD. But anyway, thanks for listening to us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. Thanks for listening to us all season. And hopefully you'll stick around for the playoffs. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Rate us, like us, tell us what you think. And if you think we're trash, then keep it to yourself. But otherwise, I'm Eric Horn. Brett Dawson over there. Barry is looking at flights, and we will see you later.